Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, we had been discussing chapter 16, Daiva Asura Sampada Yoga. In the first three verses, we have seen all the divine qualities. And then Bhagavan said that in this world, there are two types of people. One who have the predominant Daivi qualities, the divine qualities, and others who have more Asuri qualities. He did not say that the one is created by me and the others came from somewhere else. It simply said these are the qualities of minds. Depending on my experiences in life, I develop tendencies. And more I dwell into the tendencies, it becomes my predominant nature. If for some unfortunate happening, I start developing wrong tendencies, then I'll be more and more established in those wrong tendencies and qualities. My desires will be in line with that. My actions will be in line with that. And that becomes my personality. So then at that point, people will start telling me that I have an asuric qualities or I have demonic qualities, you know. Or I may be fortunate enough to go through an experiences which gives me a clear understanding of what is right and wrong, and therefore I start seeing the world in a correct manner, and I develop the right tendencies, my actions will be in line with that, that becomes my predominant nature, and therefore now people may call me a divine person. Why it is so important for us to know? We have seen in the previous verses, it says, this divine qualities will liberate you from your limitations. My limitations are binding me to unhappiness. It is the limitations are which I'm trying to get rid of. I want to be wealthy enough. My limitations of wealth, I want to get rid of it. My limitation of my strength, I want to get rid of it, so I'm strong enough. Limitation of ignorance, I want to get rid of, so I become knowledgeable enough. That which takes me towards my goal of getting me out of my limitations are the divine qualities. That me more and more binds me to my limitations are Bhagavan says asuric qualities or non-divine qualities. Now the very word, the devilish or demonic, kind of makes us really go haywire about its meaning because of the connotation of the word. Now, obviously, this word, the devil and demons, come more from the Western philosophy and Western world. It really not really found actually in our scriptures other than calling the qualities of minds of people. And both are considered to be reformable, you know. The one which is a divine quality, they can all be strengthened into more divine. And the one which has more asuric qualities, they can also be reformed into a divine qualities. Because we have seen the initial declaration that divine qualities are our natural qualities and tendencies of our mind. Therefore, we like divine in others. Whether I can see who I am is irrelevant. But when I see a divine quality in others, I appreciate it. I gravitate towards the people who have divine qualities. That tells me that my real nature is divine. I never gravitate toward the people having evil tendencies and evil qualities. That means that's not really my nature. But some ignorance leads me towards those evil qualities, knowingly or unknowingly. Thinking that doing such will give me a greater good, a greater happiness, I develop those qualities. And therefore, this chapter is a divine and devilish estate. I have acquired these mental tendencies, has become my estate. There are some good qualities and there are some not so good qualities. It is important for me to know which is divine so I can strengthen it. And it is important for me to know which is evil so I can get rid of it. That's the sole purpose of this discussion. So divine is easy for me to recognize. How do I recognize the non-divine qualities? Because our general tendency is to say, everything I do is right. Other people are wrong. Other people are doing not justice to me. What I'm doing is what is good for me and others. And last verse says, I have declared all the divine qualities. Now I'll give you in detail all the asuric qualities, non-divine qualities. So you understand what is non-divine. So verse 7 starts with saying, Pravrittim cha nivritti cha janana viduhu asuraha. Very first indication that I have some non-divine quality is I do not know what to do and what to refrain from. How many times that happened to us? Most of the time to me. Most of the time we are not certain about whether this is the right thing for me or not right thing for me. Whether I should engage into this activity, should I take this project, should I get part of this organization, I'm always in a dilemma. To be or not to be. To do or not to do. If I'm completely sure about my goal, I know exactly what I'm doing. So the things which are absolutely clear to me, I have no doubt about it. Practicing architecture, I have no doubt after all these years. That's all I know how to do it. But somebody says, Neil, how about you take this project of reforming our societies X, Y, and Z. I don't know anything about it. That's not my forte. So that's when I am in a dilemma of what is pravritti and what is nivritti. If I can completely get to a point where I don't even figure out what activity I should engage in. Bhagavan says that's an asuric tendency. Person who is predominated by the mood of mind, which is asuric, that doesn't mean that the person will be 100% of time will be like that. But there are times when we are in that situation, where we don't know what to do with it. I don't know whether I should engage in this activity or I should refrain from this activity. So, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana viduhu asuraha. Those with this asuric tendencies will not know which activity to take part in and what to refrain from. That one pointer to us to say, anytime in that situation, I have to hang on to Lord's feet and say, you guide me. Because right now, I am not clear what I'm supposed to be doing. Na shaucham na api cha acharaha. Na satyam teshu vidyate. These verses are written as if they are written for somebody else, a third party. Those people who are asuric, in them you will not find the following things. They will not find that determination of what to do and what not to do. You will also not find the shaucham, the cleanliness. This word shaucham always reminds me that at least in Gujarat, I don't know anywhere else, the public toilets are named what? Shauchalai, house of cleanliness. The exactly opposite of what those public toilets were, at least used to be when I used to be. Purity. You will not find the purity or cleanliness in them. Na apicha acharaha. Cleanliness outside as well as in the behavior. Also, you will not find a purity in them. Na satyam tesu vidyate. You will not find the truth in them. You will find dishonesty. Now what it basically says is, those people are not deliberately trying to be dishonest. They just come out dishonest because of that makeup of their mind. We always wonder why these people become terrorists. It's not that they want to be evil and they want to go out and destroy people. Their mental makeup tells them this is the right thing to do. This is something you are doing it for Allah, God, for your dharma yuddha, and it's a holy war. we from outside will see that as unholy act. So these verses are written as a third party because we will never be able to address it if it is, say, you, Neil, have this quality. Then I say, well, let's stop right here, okay? This is not good. However, when I see that I don't like this in others, if I want to introspect, I want to see whether do I fall into this category. So Bhagavan said, see whether you find this in you. Lack of cleanliness, lack of good behavior, lack of honesty, complete delusion about what to do and what not to do. Then you may consider them to be your asuric qualities. The next verse is, asatyam apratistham te jagat ahuhu anishwaram aparasparas sambhutam kim anyat kam haitukam. What is the purpose of this world? That's obviously we all want to know. What is the purpose of my life? How do I come into this situation? And is there a grand master plan where I fit into it? Or by chance, Bill Gates became Bill Gates, Steve Jobs became Steve Jobs, and I became a lowly IT worker. How is that? Is it just a chance? It is just a random occurring? Or there is a master plan? So the first thing is asatyam apradeshtam. They see that in this world there is no truth. There is no real basis of what is right and wrong. There is no basis for anything. There is no controller who controls this entire jagat. This jagat is merely a chance occurring. I was listening to this audio book, Brief History of Almost Everything. Fantastic book. It basically takes all these different concepts in the history, science, politics and all that, and gives you a complete history of the beginning till where we are. In a very brief, succinct manner, excellent, excellent writer. But what it comes out is that it almost like a chance that we human beings became who we are. Because the odds against of this happening, of all these genomics things coming together, is like one in several millions to happen. And still that one in several millions keep happening to a point that we became who we are. If one thing would have gone out of sequence, we wouldn't have been a human being. So it's almost like a chance that the world has become what it is. This is what it seemed like to the people who have not developed the divine qualities as per this description here. Asatyam, they do not see any truth. In truth is, we have seen, what is satya? That which remains constant in all three phases of time, past, present and future. If it was true yesterday, it must be true today, and it should be true tomorrow. So the hard work pays off in America in 1950s and 60s, it should be paying off now and it should pay off in the future. Then it's the truth that hard work pays off in America. It was true in 50s, but not in 70s, and absolutely not in 21st century. It's not truth. Asatyam, apratistam. There is no basis for why the world is what it is. Why this earth is rotating around the sun? Is it a chance occurring or some kind of a law which guides this earth into this orbit? If I think it's just a chance occurring, then there is no basis for any of those laws of physics. There are no basis for any laws of chemistry. There are no basis for any laws in the nature. Because there is no unifying force which ties all these laws into one. Apratistam. They think this world has no basis. Everything is purely a chance occurring. And therefore there is no truth, which says it was true today, it may not be true tomorrow. So there is no absolute truth there. Jagat ahu an Ishwaram. This world is without any controller. Ishwara, the one who is the Lord of this Jagat. They think there is no controller. Things are just happening randomly in a chaotic manner. Then what is the basis? They think is it is aparaspara sambhutam. It's only the chance occurring of things and beings coming together. How did you meet your wife? I thought, oh, just an accident. We were just in such and such and chance occurring. We Hindus believe the marriages are made in heaven. Somebody has already planned for me. That's because we don't believe in chances. So it says, aparasambhutam kim anya kama haitukam. Only purpose is to satisfy my desire, the lust, kama, desire. That's the only purpose when I come together with the object of my desire, that I acquire, make a relationship, and fulfill my desire, and move on. Whatever the consequences of that becomes this world. That's the basis of their argument. So it seemed like that even in Krishna's time, there was a cold war going on between the people who believed in God and people who said, thou shalt not practice any religion, nor will you have any churches or temples or synagogues in this country. Krishna is pointing out to them and saying, those people who believe there is no Ishvara, there is no basis for this world other than purely to satisfy the desires and lust. Obviously, we know in the several darshan shastras we have, one of them is Charvak. And Charvak says the only purpose of life is to enjoy. And therefore, their classical declaration is, runam kutva grutam pibet. You can incur debt, but enjoy ghee. In other words, enjoy good things, like even if you have to incur debt. Now, that sounds like it's an American philosophy, isn't it? Charge on credit card. Bhagavan says here, those are asuric tendencies. You see, there is no basis for this world. There is no basis. There is no real purpose of life other than just enjoyment. I would consider, Bhagavan says, asuric. In a sense, they will be removed more and more from their real self. They will far away from the truth. And therefore, you should be avoiding those qualities if you find in you. Time and again, we question ourselves, is there really a purpose, you know, for what I'm doing? You know? Is there really a purpose for my life? Or is there really something good I'm contributing towards the betterment of the society? Etam drastim avastabhya nasta atmanah alpabuddhaya. Pretty strong words, but you can imagine that if I have a weakness which is going to bring me down, it's going to make me lose everything that I have achieved so far. Will you not be so aggressive and say, get rid of it as quickly as you can? As soon as a doctor finds a cancer in my body, very aggressively you have to get rid of it, because that cancer, even though may look a small tumor right now, it's going to spread throughout your body and destroy you. So therefore Bhagavan says, nasta atmanah. These tendencies, if you find in yourself, this is going to destroy yourself. Your understanding of my own self is going to be destroyed by these ideas. And therefore, alpa buddhayaha. They have buddhi, but not in a right direction. So therefore, alpa buddhayaha, nasta atmaha, jastim avastabhya, prabhavanti ugra karmanaha, kshayaya jagato ahitaha. Because I have come to the conclusion that I am for myself. For a while in 70s at least, I think, when I came to this country in 80s, there was a trend in self-help, self-motivation books. Take care of number one. Has anybody heard about it? Take care of number one. That's your first goal. Who is number one? Me. How do you self-motivate yourself? Take care of number one. Don't worry about number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2, whatever. You take care of number 1. You think about yourself. That's all. And so that's how you self-motivate yourself and become. We know how wrong that was. More and more I become self-centered. I become away from everything else, which is my support system, which makes me who I am. Anytime I get an idea that nobody has done anything for me and everything I've achieved is by myself, I cannot be more further from the truth. Even a simple achievement I have, so many people have to do so many things for me to achieve that. More I recognize that, more I'll increase my support system. So Bhagavan said, this people thinking this, prabhavanti ugra karmanaha, they have an aggressive behavior of conquering others, you know, suppressing others, killing others, whatever the means, by achieving what I think is good for me. Prabhavanti ugra karmanaha kshayaya jagataha ahitaha. They have no good intention about this world, in others, in other words. I'm only for myself. I don't care what happens to others. Even by killing thousands of people, if I achieve my goal, that's good enough for me. Bombs all over the place, but I'm achieving my goal. He said, jagata ahitaha. They have no good for this world in their heart. And therefore, they are engaged in aggressive actions for the destruction of this world. Now, obviously, you can take on a grander concept, international concept, or at your own level. Even at the cost of the people who are closer to me, if I can go ahead, then I will do it. And as we say in corporate ladders, you trample on the others to climb that ladder. You know. In reality, that never really happens. In reality, the people who support others get further ahead. There is one thing I had heard somewhere. I said, how do I know that I'm making a progress? I'm sitting in a train in Indian Railway, and then there are a bunch of people around, and suddenly I see the platform start moving. That's where I realize I am actually moving. The only clue I have is I see the other people standing on the platform start moving. When I see the other people around me making progress, that should give me a clue that I'm making progress. If everybody else is going down around me, I may be feeling good, but I should be very cautious that this is coming to me. If the whole economy in the country is collapsing, just like in 2008, Lehman Brothers filing bankruptcy, I think, what do I care, Lehman Brothers filing bankruptcy? You know, we are doing fine. That bankruptcy in 2008 gradually comes to your door when you have no work. So when you see the other people making progress around you, consider that you are successful. You are making progress. You have a chance to succeed. When you see other people around you falling behind, you definitely be very careful and be afraid that you're going to fall behind, just as they are. So Bhagavan said, these people with alpa buddhi, not having a farsightness, they want to destroy others so that they feel that they have gained their goal. And obviously they cannot be doing any good to themselves. So we'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.